I think we can go ahead. Hare Krishna, I welcome all the devotees to our Bhakti Sangha Japa conference call of our Srila Prabhupada Srila Amrita summary sessions. And as part of these sessions, today we have Bhaktin Asara to give summary on Srila Prabhupada Srila Amrita chapter 13. Hare Krishna Asara, please accept my humble obeisances. All glories to Srila Prabhupada and Guru Maharaj. Thank you so much, Asara, for giving your valuable time. I think you have school today, right? So, okay, then good. So, you are utilizing your time for Srila Prabhupada Srila Amrita. Wonderful, Asara. So, I now hand over the call to you. Please take over.
Thank you, Mataji, and thank you, everyone, for giving me this opportunity. I'm a little sick today, so my voice may crack or something, so please forgive me for that. But Om Gyana Timirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurunmilitam Jena Tasmay Shri Guruve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manovishtham Stapitam Jena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kadamayam Tadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Juta Padakamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavamsham Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatham Vitam Tham Shtuchivam Svadvaitam Savadutam Parilana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Pada Sahagana Laita Shri Vishakam Vitam Shcham Hey Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namastate Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Bancha Kalpatarubhishcha Kripa Sindhu Vayavacha Patitana Bhavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shiva Shadi Gaura Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So today I will be speaking on the 13th chapter of Prabhupada Lilamrita. And this chapter, before starting, I just want to say how thankful I am for Srila Prabhupada for all his struggles into coming into the United States, because at his age of 70, it isn't easy to travel on the Jaladutta ship. It's not even a regular ship. It's like a ship for shipping goods to other countries. And he went through such horrible seasickness, 3 heart attacks. And the 3rd heart attack, he got one dream from the Supreme Lord that, you know, I will protect you and you are my servant. And he, with so much struggle, he came to the United States. And it's very hard to think that even though in today's society, we have so much more technological advancements and so many more access to coming to other countries, but nobody can surpass how much Srila Prabhupada has done for us. You know, he came with like nothing, only barely any money. And even money, he had it in rupees. He didn't even have American dollars. And still he was able to make 108 temples all over the world and produce so many devotees. And so when he was on this Jaladutta ship, he sang one bhajan that when he was so sick and he was completely, he came to Boston Harbor, actually. This bhajan he wrote when he came to Boston Harbor, and from there he was completely lost. This is his first time in America, and he didn't know where to go. He didn't know what to do, so he composed this bhajan, Boro Kripa Koli Krishna. And it's talking about how, my dear Lord, I'm just a puppet in your hands now. You have brought me here, and now I will do whatever you want. Boro Kripa Koli Krishna Adha Mera Prati Rajastamo guna era sabhai achana वासुदेव कथा रुचि नहीं से प्रसाना, तबे जड़े तब कृपा हो हित के, सखाले संभव हो तुमि से कातु की, के भाव भूजल तर भुजे से रसा, एता कृपा करो प्रभु करे निज भाषा। तुमार इच्छा सब होए माया भाषा, तुमार इच्छा नाश मायार परसा, तबाई चाह जड़ी तदेरा उतार, बुझे निश्चय तब कथा से तोमार, भगवतेर कथा सतार, धीर हया सुने जाड़ी कने बार बार, सुनवा तम सखता कृष्ण पुण्य श्रवण कीर्तन, हृदयंतस्तव भद्राणी विदुनोति सुहृत्सताम्, नष्ट प्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भगवत सेवया, भगवतीरुत्तम श्लोकेर भक्तिर भवति नष्टकी, कृष्णाय तदा रजस्तमोभाव कामलोभदयश्चये, चेताये तिरनावित्थं स्थितं सत्वे प्रसीदति, एवं प्रसन्न मनस भगवद् भक्ति योगता, भगवत तत्व विज्ञानं मुक्ता संगस्य जायते, विद्यते हृदय ग्रंथिस् चिद्यन्ति सर्व संशया, शयन्त चस्य कर्माणि दृष्ट एव आत्मनिश्वरे। रजस्तमो हटे तबे पैवे निष्ठर, हृदय अभद्र सते गुच बी, कि करिए बुझब कथा वर से चाहे, शुद्रामी दिन ही न कनो शक्ति नहीं, अथा चाई ने जो प्रभु कथा बोली बरे, जे तो मारा इच्छा प्रभु करिए बरे, अखिला जगत करो वचन से अमर, अलंकृत करिवार क्षमता तोमर, तब कृपा हले मोर कथा सुत हवे, सुनिया सबर शोख दुख जे गुचीबे, अनिया छो जड़ी प्रभु अमरे नचते, नचो 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 प्रभु नचो सिरमते, कष्टेर पुतली जत नचाओ से मते, भक्ति नई वेद नई नमे कुबधर, भक्ति वेदांत नाम सत करो, बोरो कृपा कोले कृष्ण धामे रखते, के लागे अनिले त करो ए विगति। I'm so sorry if I messed up in between because my voice is a little hoarse today. However, the translation for this bhajan is, my dear Lord Krishna, you are so kind upon this useless soul, but I do not know why you have brought me here. Now you can do whatever you like with me. But I guess you have some business here. Otherwise, why would you bring me to this terrible place? Most of the population here is covered by the material modes of ignorance and passion. Absorbed in material life, they think themselves very happy and satisfied, and therefore they have no taste for the transcendental message of Vasudeva. I do not know how they'll be able to understand it, but I know your causeless mercy can make everything possible because you're the most expert mystic. How will they understand the mellows of devotional service, O Lord? I'm simply praying for your mercy so that I am able to convince them about your message. All living entities have become under the control of the illusory energy by your will, and therefore, if you like, they also can be released from the clutches of illusion. I wish that you may deliver them. Therefore, if you so desire their deliverance, then only will they be able to understand your message. The words of Srimad Bhagavatam are your incarnation, and if a sober person repeatedly receives it with submission and oral reception, then he'll be able to understand your message. It is said in the Srimad Bhagavatam, verse 1.2.17-21, Sri Krishna, the personality of Godhead, who is the Paramatma Supersoul in everyone's heart and the benefactor of the truthful devotee, cleanses desire for material enjoyment from the heart of the devotee, who has developed the urge to hear his messages, which are in themselves virtuous when properly heard and chanted. By regular attendance in classes of Bhagavatam, and by rendering the service to the pure devotee, all that is troublesome to the heart is almost completely destroyed. In loving service unto the personality of Godhead, who is praised with transcendental songs, is established as an irrevocable fact. As soon as irrevocable loving service is established in the heart, the effects of nature's modes of passion and ignorance, such as lust, desire, and hankering, disappear from the heart. Then the devotee is established in goodness, and he becomes completely happy, thus established in the mode of unalloyed goodness. The man whose mind has been enlivened by contact with devotional service to the Lord gains positive scientific knowledge of the personality of Godhead in the stage of liberation from all material association. Thus, the knot in the heart is pierced, and all misgivings are cut to pieces. The chain of fruitive actions is terminated when one sees the self as master. He will become liberated from the influence of motive ignorance and passion, and thus all inauspicious things accumulated in the core of the heart will disappear. How will I make them understand this message of Krishna consciousness? I am very unfortunate, unqualified, and the most fallen. Therefore, I am seeking your benediction so that I can convince them, for I am powerless to do so on my own. Somehow or other, O Lord, you have brought me here to speak about you. Now, my Lord, it is up to you to make me a success or a failure as you like. O spiritual master of all the worlds, I can simply repeat your message. So if you like, you can make my power of speaking suitable for their understanding. Only by your causeless mercy will my words become pure. I am sure that when this transcendental message penetrates their hearts, they will certainly feel engladdened and thus become liberated from all unhappy conditions of life. O Lord, I am just like a puppet in your hands. So if you have brought me here to dance, then make me dance. Make me dance, O Lord. Make me dance as you like. I have no devotion, nor do I have any knowledge, but I have strong faith in the holy names of Krishna. I have been designated as Bhaktivedanta, and now, if you like, you can fulfill the real purport of Bhaktivedanta. And so this bhajan is so beautiful. It's just talking about how Prabhupada completely surrendered himself under Krishna's guidance, and he was thinking, oh Krishna, everything is in your hands now, please make me dance, whatever you want me to do, please make me do it in your service. And in this beautiful bhajan, Prabhupada also puts in so many wonderful shlokas. Verse 1.17-21, he puts in, and he talks about in the first sloka, Shinvatam Sakatha Krishna, Punya Shavana Kirtanam, Hridayantasto Abhadrani, Vidunoti Suhurtsatam. In the Bhagavatam, it says, Shri Krishna, the personality of Godhead, who is the Paramatma in everyone's heart and the benefactor of the devotee, cleanses the desire for material enjoyment from the heart when the devotee has an urge to read his message. And when one properly chants and properly hears, one gets clean in the heart and able to understand the Lord's message. And so it's just all these verses, they're just describing how important it is to, you know, continue our sadhana of chanting and attending Srimad Bhagavatam classes as well. And the next verse, it says, by regular attendance of the classes on the Bhagavatam and by rendering service to the pure devotee, all that is troublesome to the heart is almost completely destroyed. And loving service unto the personality of Godhead, who is praised with transcendental songs, is established as an irreversible fact. So, you know, we're so fortunate that we have so many advanced devotees that give us such beautiful classes on Srimad Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita. And we should grasp that opportunity, because it's very hard, you know, in this age of Kali to have an opportunity to be able to render service unto the Supreme Lord. And like, we get such like an easy way to get access to the love of Godhead just by listening and chanting, it's so simple. We can gradually, you know, get love for the Supreme Lord, because in other yugas, it's, you know, you have to go through so many austerities and so many penances. But in this Kali Yuga, Lord Chaitanya has come with just simple chanting of the holy names, as Srila Prabhupada said. And just Srila Prabhupada, he also spread this holy names and the art of giving lectures, you know, around the world. So we can also, you know, experience that mercy and be able to experience the love of Godhead. And in the next verse that Prabhupada also puts in this bhajan, it says, Tada rajastamo bhavan kama lobadayash chaitye cheta etir anavidham stitham satve prasidati. As soon as the irrevocable loving service is established in the heart, the effects of nature's mode of passion and ignorance, such as lust and desire and hankering, disappear from the heart, and then the devotee is established in goodness and he becomes completely happy. So in this material world, there is no real happiness, because Prabhupada, I was listening to a lecture. He gave an example in one of his lectures. When you cut yourself, you know, when you get that pain, you're experiencing so much pain. Oh, I've cut myself. Like, I want this pain to go away, you know? And when that pain goes away, once you've that scar has healed, you become happy. Oh, my pain is gone now. But in reality, that's not real happiness. When your pain healed, you went back to the stage you were before you were in pain. That's not real happiness. You were just finally glad to be free from that misery, that you just went back into the stage. So there's no real happiness in the material world. You just, whatever happiness comes, it's just very temporary. And so to get permanent happiness is you have to chant the holy names of the Supreme Lord and you know, give loving service to the devotees and the Supreme Lord. And then you'll be able to experience true happiness. And then in verse 20, the Bhagavatam goes on to say, Evam prasanna manaso bhagavad bhakti yogatam bhagavat tattva vignanam mukta sangasya jayate. And the translation, thus established in the mode of unalloyed goodness, the man whose mind has been enlivened by the contact of devotional service to the Lord gains positive scientific knowledge of the personality of Godhead. And in the stage of liberation from all material association. So once you become firmly established in, you know, the service of the Supreme Lord, you can see, like, you'll gain scientific knowledge, like not like material scientific knowledge, like what they are showing out, you know, in today's society. The scientists have proven, like, oh, we have found the way to make life with matter. And that's not true science. You get like real knowledge, like real spiritual knowledge. And that spiritual knowledge helps you, you know, get yourself free from this repetition of birth and death. And also when this verse is also, I remembered in the 13th chapter, as we were discussing, Prabhupada was reading a newspaper, India's Times, 1959. And the newspaper has stated, American scientists had found like antiproton. They have found like the opposite of a proton, antiproton and antimatter. And there's another universe that is not made up of matter, that is made up of antiprotons. And when Prabhupada, when he was reading this, he was thinking, you know, antiproton and antimatter is basically a spiritual world, because the spiritual world is not made up of matter. But these scientists, they do not know. They're just speculating. They're making up their own names. And there's another universe without this made of material matter. It's spirit, it's the Supreme Lord's abode. But, you know, scientists, they don't understand that, because nowadays these scientists are just so busy trying to figure out things themselves that they'll, you know, they try so hard to reject the existence of God, and they just try to, you know, make up things themselves because they want to feel so independent that, you know, there's nobody above us that's controlling us, you know, and they make up so many speculations about how the world is created just because they will not admit to the service of the Lord. And I've heard so many, even discussing with, you know, kids at school, I've had arguments, and they'll be like, oh, but God doesn't exist according to science, because if God created everything, who created God? You know, that's impossible. If God is the creator of everything, somebody must have created God. And what I'd usually say to that is, if God created everything, God also created time, which means he is not controlled by time, because, you know, the Lord isn't controlled by anything he creates. And so If God created everything, God also created the concept of time. And therefore, when we say God has been here forever, he is not controlled by that time. And thus you cannot say someone else created God, because he created time, if that makes sense, you know. Since everything is, you know, created by God, and God created time, then he's not controlled by it. And therefore, you cannot say someone else created him, or he has never been there, because he was never controlled by any of this material, you know, material matter and everything else that he has created. And then they'll be like, oh, but if, okay, that's a pretty valid answer, so why can't we see God? They'll ask that question. Why can't we see God? Why, you know, like, if we can't see it, then it doesn't exist. And so, you know, there's an example that, again, according to science, some years ago, scientists have discovered that animals can see different colors that we can't see. It's been proven. And so when I read that article, I was thinking, if those animals can see the colors that we can't see, like, how do scientists know they can see it? Because to know that the animals could see those colors, you also have to see those colors. Otherwise, you can't just assume they see other colors unless you've also seen those colors. So it makes no sense. So I asked that to a friend. They're like, oh, no, you can't see the colors. But I'm like, then how do they know? How do they know it exists? And they're like, oh, some scientific research or this and that, they know it exists. And so I was thinking, if they can apply that logic to those colors, why can't they apply that same logic to God? Like, my friend was telling me, well, yes, animals have those eyes to see those colors, but we don't have the eyes to see those colors. And I was saying, yeah, similarly, we as humans, we do not have the eyes to see the Supreme Lord. We aren't as advanced enough to see the Supreme Lord. So, you know, but there's so many other like great devotees who are able to see the Supreme Lord, because they are given, you know, that like mercy to see the Supreme Lord. So I just thought that was interesting. And I just love how later on in the chapter as well, Prabhupada goes on to give a lot of interviews with scientists, and they're so fascinated by his way of thinking. And whenever Prabhupada would talk to those scientists, he never, like, I've noticed in the chapter, he never, you know, disregarded their opinions. Instead, he was like, yes, spiritual, the spiritual knowledge that I'm bringing, it is also scientific knowledge, you know. So he was very patient with the scientists. And and another verse, the last verse, Prabhupada puts in his bhajan, vidyate hridaya grantish chidyante sarva samsayah shayante chasya karmani drishta evatmanishvare. Thus the knot in the heart is pierced, and all misgivings are cut to pieces. The chain of fruitive action is terminated, and when one sees the self as the master. So when I was reading this verse, I was a little confused at the last part when it said, when one sees the self as the master, because I was always thinking, you know, we're the servant. So why is it in the Bhagavatam is it saying one sees the self as the master? So I decided to read the purport. And when I read the purport, Prabhupada nicely explained that when we see the self as the master, we're referring to like mastering our senses. We're not referring as the true master, because when we gain the scientific knowledge, we are able to master our senses, not in the sense that we are the master. And then the scientific knowledge teaches us how to be servants to Krishna. And so it's that type of master. It isn't like master, because we ourselves are just parts and particles of the Supreme Lord. So these verses that Prabhupada put in the bhajan just really nicely stresses how we should execute devotional service, and how Prabhupada, he was executing devotional service to the Supreme Lord. He brought everything to the West, and he's just following the orders of his Guru Maharaj. And in the other previous verses of the Lilamrita, when Prabhupada first met his Guru Maharaj, he had asked this question, like, his Guru Maharaj had told him that we need to go and spread this mercy, this knowledge that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has given to us all over the world. And when Prabhupada, he heard this from his Guru Maharaj, he was like, but first, we need to get independence from Britain. We need to get independence from the British rule, and then we can go and propagate. And so Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur replied to Prabhupada. He said, even if we get this independence from the British rule, that isn't even real independence. Because, like, you will never have true independence. You're always going to be dependent on something. You'll always be controlled by a higher source. You'll never have your true independence. And so, like, you're always going to be entangled, dependent on this material illusory energy. You're always going to be controlled by Maya in the mind. So you'll never actually be free from this. You will never actually gain independence. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati was saying. And Prabhupada, when he heard that, he was very heart touched. You know, he was like, I want him as my spiritual master. I want Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur as my guru. And with very firm faith, he took that. He took those words of his Guru Maharaj that he has to preach all over the world. And he, with such sincere heart, at such an like tender age, he traveled and he was able to fulfill his Guru Maharaj's desire, because it's just amazing. And just no one can do this in this age. And no one is having the dedication, as Srila Prabhupada, to help us get this knowledge. And when Prabhupada, after Prabhupada wrote this bhajan, he had arrived at Boston Harbor. And soon from Boston Harbor, he had moved to the house of Gopal and Sali Agarwal. They lived in Pennsylvania. And Gopal, his father, wanted him to take in Prabhupada. Like, he wanted Prabhupada to stay at their house. So he stayed there with Gopal and Sali Agarwal. And Sali Agarwal writes, she like talks about how attached she got to Srila Prabhupada in the Lilamrita. She would always, you know, he would be in the house. He was such a simple person. She would, you know, mention like, Prabhupada, you know, he's a sadhu, he's a sannyasi. So he was very tolerant. In America, it was a very corrupt country. And so he was very tolerant of, you know, people eating meat in the house, or like even Sally, which she would smoke sometimes in the house. And so even Prabhupada was very tolerant of that. He was so patient, and he didn't stay at Sally and Gopal's house like during the day. He stayed in the YMCA, and he had a room in the YMCA, but he would come to their house to, you know, clean his, wash his clothes and cook. And he had this little burner, and he would prepare his foods in that little burner, some roti, some dal, and he would offer, and he would eat at their house. And Sally talked about how Prabhupada was such a nice guest at the house. Like, he would always be chanting. If Sally was busy and she couldn't, you know, talk to Srila Prabhupada, he would not complain. He would just sit and chant, and everything, every moment he got, he just chanted, and he, you know, read the books, did some typewriting. And she was just like, he was so patient, she was saying. And every opportunity he got, he just to use it in Krishna's service. And so, like, Prabhupada would also have small gatherings at their house, like some neighborhood, people from the neighborhood. They were very fascinated to see a Swami. They've never seen a Swami before. And so they're so fascinated to see him. They would all come to their house, and they would listen to Prabhupada speak. And Prabhupada was very, very patient in the way he spoke. He never, as Sally described, he never forced anybody to stop doing anything. Like, he never, later on, of course, when people became more serious, he told them the four regulative principles. But in the beginning, he was so patient with everyone. Like, even there would be so many people coming to ask him questions, and he would be like, oh, you are a son of God. We are children of God. You just unite everyone. And everyone really were very appreciative of Srila Prabhupada. And he would also give some lectures at the university in Pennsylvania. And there's a devotee. His name, I don't recall his initiated name. I don't know if he got initiated or not, but she was the first person that met Srila Prabhupada also that was in America. His name was Alan, and he would drive Srila Prabhupada back and forth into the universities where Prabhupada would give his lectures. And everybody, like, he would just describe Prabhupada as so patient, and, you know, it's the pure, the qualities of a devotee, like Prabhupada's patience. When he would walk into the house of Sali and Gopal Agrawal, sometimes they would cook meat and they would apologize to Srila Prabhupada saying, "Oh, Srila Prabhupada, we have cooked meat. Please don't mind it. I know, we know the smell is not very pleasant to you." But Prabhupada will just be like, "It's fine. Like, please don't worry about it." And it just shows that he was very tolerant. And so after staying like about 1 month at their house and giving, you know, a few interviews with some local news and everything, Prabhupada decided to go to New York. And when Sally heard that Prabhupada was leaving to New York, because she got very attached to Srila Prabhupada because of his, you know, his, like, she was just very attached to Srila Prabhupada, and she was very worried for him. She was like, "Prabhupada, you're so old. You know, New York is a crazy place. It's very crowded. There's a lot of, you know, hippies. And we're worried that, you know, you may not be able to be comfortable in that type of area." And Prabhupada, he just really wanted to spread the mission of his guru. So he just, the mission of Lord Chaitanya. And he, even though like they were like very worried for him, Prabhupada's like, "It's okay, I will go and I'd preach the names of Krishna." And so he goes to New York and he looks around and he like stays in New York. And when he first reaches New York, he was so shocked by how like materialistic everything was, like how the whole country had been built only on the base of sense gratification. And he was like every street, every corner he saw, it was just built on complete sense gratification. So, and Prabhupada is very shocked because, you know, this just shows how bad Kali Yuga has gotten, that even now it's gone even worse, probably. Just every street is cornered with sense gratification. And nobody's, even though through all this sense gratification that Prabhupada saw in New York, all this luxury bars, these big hotels, he still found so many unhappy people. Found so many hippies, so many people who were actually seeking to find the true meanings of life. And he would do those kirtans at the park in New York. He would, and just the struggle that he went through in New York was also very crazy, you know. And the apartment he lived with this one drug addict, and that man was crazy, and he stole at Prabhupada's things, and Prabhupada had only one typewriter and a few things, but that man stole him and Prabhupada had to run. And so the struggle Prabhupada went through to print out Srimad Bhagavatam and like Bhagavad Gita and all the other literatures for us, it's so amazing. Like, I don't think, no matter how much I speak on this topic, you know, nothing can like show how grateful everyone is for Srila Prabhupada, for everything he's done for us. And even before he came to America, even in Delhi, he would print these Bhaktivedanta magazines, and he would go out in the scorching heat in Delhi. And back then, it was very hard to be able to print out things as fast as we do today, like printing books and copies. And so, like, you know, he would print a few copies of his magazine that took so long to print. And he would go out into the scorching heat or into little tea shops, and he would, you know, ask them to, you know, buy a few copies. And sometimes because of how hot it was and how tired he was, he would just faint. He would get heat strokes, you know, all for the preaching of the Supreme, like all for the preaching of the holy names. And, you know, if that was hard, imagine how hard it would have been when he came to America. But it was Prabhupada, he later on writes, he was so shocked to see how interested people actually were in America. He was shocked that he thought when he first came to America, he thought that the only thing he'll be eating is potatoes. Like, there'll be nothing else to eat because everybody just lives off of meat. But he was so happy that he was able to prepare nice foodstuffs, you know, like dal, roti, in the service of the Lord. And later on, he was also able to build so many wonderful temples into the service of the Lord. And it just shows this is not something anybody ordinary can do. It's only by the mercy of Srila Prabhupada. So that's my reflection on the 13th chapter. And if anybody has any other realizations, and anything that I missed that you can please share. And thank you so much for giving this opportunity to all the Matajis and everyone. I'm so thankful that you took your time out of your day to come and listen. Hare Krishna.
Hari Bol Asra. So, so sweet class, wonderful. And your singing of bhajan is so sweet. In spite of your sore throat, you sang it so sweetly. And summary is also very nice, Asira. I can see your level of devotion and your faith in Srila Prabhupada and your listening of lectures. It's awesome, Asira. Thank you so much, Asira, for this beautiful session. Hare Krishna, dear devotees. So please go ahead with your realizations.
Hare Krishna, Asira. Such a wonderful, wonderful observing class. You even presented very complex philosophical ideas. Like, I was just thinking about the way you presented the concept of animals seeing a certain range of color and then bringing it back to, have you seen God? So some people have seen God, and then how you connected it with that example. That was a very interesting, very, very nice way of presenting. And your storytelling, complete absorption in Prabhupada Leela. You're the grandchild of Prabhupada. So we see that love is much more than what we can have, the love that you have for Prabhupada. I mean, you are so absorbed in everything. You didn't have to bring it from your memory. It just, take effort to bring it from your memory. Rather, it just spontaneously just flowed out from your heart, which was so beautiful, so beautiful. Thank you so much. You did an amazing job. And ISKCON, I'm so happy that has lots of future preachers. Very, very beautiful, Asura. Thank you so much. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Asra. Such a beautiful class and beautiful singing. I know your voice was not supporting today because of some bad throat, but it was so good. Still, you were singing from the heart, so it was so melodious. So thank you, Asra. Thank you for the beautiful, the way you presented. It was really nice. And as Preeti Vilasni Mataji also said that, you presented the philosophy in such a beautiful way. That itself means that first you have understood and then you have repeated. So that's so good. Thank you, Asra. Thank you for coming on the call. Thank you for showing up. And I think so that you can inspire many, many more youth. And I could see even my son, he's in college, but still he's in call. So maybe he can also get inspired one day. Thank you, Asra. Thank you so much. Hare Krishna.
Yeah, Mataji, we should have Ujjwal present next. They are all now in the adults group, Asra and Ujjwal.
So Ujjwal, you are on call. Would you like to unmute and say?
This was my fear, Mataji. I knew if I joined the call, I would be the next goat to be sitting doing this. No, Mataji. I can't give classes, Mataji. They are not meant for me. I can do as many kirtans as needed. Class is not meant for me.
I think you can do like Asra, both kirtan and class. That will be nice.
That is fine, Madhuri. Kirtan, as much as you want, as much. Like I can do. No worries of kirtan. But definitely, the class was very nice, actually. I loved the point as well for when she was trying to the scientific philosophy that she was trying to do. Give. It was very nice. And sometimes Asra would just call me and share random realizations. She read a verse from Bhagavad Gita or like Bhagavatam, and a random, completely like on off topic context, but realization comes. And it's definitely very inspiring. I've been trying to read books trying to read more Prabhupada books and get more realized in this topic. So thank you so much for the class, Asra.
Thank you. Thank you for, and actually Ujjwal helped me pinpoint some notes last night for the class, because I really, so thank you. Thanks to you, I was actually able to get so many quotes and put them in here. So I just want to thank you for that as well. Very fortunate to have you as an older brother. Thank you.
Hare Krishna, Asra. I'm tempted to say Dhanvat Pranams to you, but since you're younger to me, I would say, all goes to Shri Guru and Gauranga. And so brilliant class. It was really touching and moving, because, like you're almost like the same age as my daughter. And it's a matter of pride to see that somebody is explaining so beautifully, and I'm so sure Srila Prabhupada, you know, he'll be beaming with a big, big, big smile there and blessing you profusely. And I know the other thought that came to my mind is that, you know, ISKCON's future is safe, you know, in the hands of youth like you. And yeah, I mean, I could go on and on. It was brilliant the way you presented. It was not like you were just narrating, you know, things, but you were trying to bring in like practical application of things and how people view and look at philosophy. And I'm not sure many of us, or at least me, did that. You know, we were trying to present facts, but you were trying to go deeper into it and, you know, do so much. And yeah, I was moved, actually, I have to admit. So yeah, only thing I can do is from my end is that I can pray to Krishna and Narasimha to protect you and guide you all the more. And I'm going to send this recording to my daughter. She's at a class now, but I'm going to tell her it's a must listen. And I don't know, I was so tempted to post it on all groups and tell everybody to actually listen, because the way you presented everything was just so amazing. You know, like you can catch a person's attention and their and their reasoning and their thinking. So that's not an easy thing. Like passive listening is one, but if somebody listens to your class, they would start thinking, you know, like they say, Atato Brahma Jigyasa, that Jigyasa is something which will come into the person. That's how I felt. So yeah, I would recommend if Mataji can post it everywhere and tell that everybody should listen, because it may get somebody thinking. So yeah, so all glories to your wonderful seva, and I hope you continue like this. Thank you so much, and please give us your association.
Thank you, Mataji.
Wonderful class. I particularly love your own realizations. As you were saying, I asked questions to my friend, like about the animals that can see color. I think that's brilliant that you are actually not just reading the books, but actually analyzing things outside, things that you're learning in school, things that you're hearing from your friends. It shows a very high level but just, you know, actually not just accepting everything that everybody says, whether it be teachers or whether it be other, you know, other people. So that was brilliant. And of course, as Sukhasagari Mataji says, you know, very sweet class also, because you just didn't, when you said that, well, I wondered what that meant, that when he says that you know the self. And so you went to the purport and you went back and looked. So this, like I said, this kind of inquisitiveness, this kind of seeking of knowledge and not just blindly following. And I think as parents, I can attest to the fact that as a parent, I always expected my kids to do just as I said, but I think this type of inquisitiveness and this questioning is vitally important for us as parents to recognize, not as some kind of rebellion, but actually an actual search for knowledge. So I thank you very much. That was very beautiful. Hare Krishna.
Thank you.
Komadi ki Mataji, please go ahead. Mataji, please. Mataji, Lalita ki Mataji, Komadi ki Mataji was trying.
Very nice class. Very nice that he sang very nice Prabhupada, the song that Prabhupada wrote on a Jaladutta. It's very beautiful. I always love that song. And also, he explained very nicely as well.
Thank you. So,
very nice. Just keep it up. Do it more and more. Also, Bhaktivinoda Thakur songs also that your mother is singing and teaching. So those songs are very beautiful also. So sometime you can also come and explain those songs, sing and explain. It will be very nice. So other devotees and your age devotees, they will be also inspired. Thank you, Asra, very much. Hare Krishna.
Thank you.
and go on, because you have a future preacher. So, yeah, besides studying in a school, you also study this. That's very nice. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Are you in the debate club or something, Asra?
No, Mataji. I'm in speech. I'm in a speech class because I in school I do UIL, speaking competition. And yeah, so they give you like 30 minutes to prepare like a 10-minute speech, mm-hmm. and you have to go and talk for about 10 minutes on that certain topic they give you.
Very nice. You should consider debate too. I think you'll do great. Because you have that analytical skill to go deeper into things, and you'll be a great lawyer.
Yep.
Well, thank you so much, Hare Krishna. I could go on more, like I said.
Hare Krishna, my dear Ashra. Dhanvat pranams to you. Very, very beautiful class and the song. You know that I'm a fan of your poems as well. When Janvi was very young, there are so many poems of you that your mom used to send me, and also it's there in ISKCON Desertry. You're sitting on the car and writing those poems and singing them so well. So proud of you, Ashra. This is what we have been waiting for. And we can also see that your mom's efforts in you bringing up such a nice devotee. Class was wonderful. Filled with your realizations. It was like a synopsis of the whole life of Srila Prabhupada. You took some important points from the previous chapters as well. And your realizations are so nice. And also I like the realizations you share in the youth jam. It's so nice. I mean, Vaisheshika Prabhu and everyone agrees that it's wonderful the way you and the other kids share the realizations. It's so nice. It's a reminder for us also not to just read mechanically, but contemplate on it, connect to the outside world and see what we have absorbed in this. Thank you so much, Ashra, and come back again. And praying that Krishna, Srila Prabhupada and Guru Maharaj shower you with immense blessings. For a lifelong devotional service and inspiring many, many more in this path. Hari Bol.
Thank you, Mataji.
Hare Krishna, Asara. So beautiful, beautiful class, Asara. Very nice to see you. I've seen you as a child. It was so nice when you are so young, like 7, 8. I think you were 7 at that time. You were dancing, singing, playing. Naughty. Now you see how good devotee you are. I am so happy, and you are the role model for our kids, like especially the mother kids, and especially for Vrinda and Janavi, and of course Krishna Keshav. Very, very nice. I would wait and Vrinda comes back. I'll play definitely this class to her so that she sees and learns from you. Whatever Vrinda is here today, I'm just, you are the inspiration for me to train her like that. And thank you so much for, making us to show that, like, how the child should be, like, how should we grow up a child, by seeing you all only, we could know that we have to make our children to be like this. Very nice seeing you giving such a big, big classes, especially Srila Prabhupada Leelamrita. So happy to see you, and very nice, beautiful points. Even though you are sick, you have presented it so nicely. Hare Krishna.
Thank you so much, Mataji.
Hare Krishna, Asra, Dandvat Pranam, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Gurudev ki jai, Gopinath ki jai. Hare Bol. So sincerely you take a class. I remember that when you came in Atlanta, Paniyati Dham, on this spot we give a seva to... there is a 67 different Panihati Dham festival, different item we have to add, and you accept it and you narrating so nicely. I also observe that you just hear so attentively. So today we will see that not only you just read, but you digest it. so that whatever you speak, we will realize you are so young, but still we realize that your feelings. And in a Gujarati, it's told that peacock, morna inda chitarvana pade. It means that peacock eggs we don't have to draw. Exactly like your mom, how much efforts your mom is putting, that today you are like exactly like Anjana Gopi, you are explaining all the Srila Prabhupada Leela, and not only read but you feel it and you explain it. That is the main point. Hari Hari Gauranga, you are the future of all our Bal Vrinda, Aksita Gopi and other small Laddu Gopal and Radha Gopi. I remember that day, Sunday, your mama is taking class of very hard sloka. Even I can read that sloka. I can remember it at 5-6 times. But that sloka, within like third session, that kids will remember that sloka. Thank you, Beta, for your deep devotional association, especially your singing so nicely. My humble request behalf of all Vaishnava and the permission of senior Vaishnava, that can you please sing whatever you wants to like to sing. I miss 10 minutes because our that little Bal Krishna and Garima came to hear Gopinath home. Hare Krishna, Koti Koti Danvat Pranam to your sincere seva. Srila Prabhupada, Srila Gurudev ki jai. Srila Gurudev bless their Srila Gurudev and Srila Prabhupada and our Guru Parampara and Six Goswami blessing with you. And you will progress day by day by day. You're like today, it's not only me, all Vaishnava said that whatever you explain, it's touch to heart. Like it's Gati, Mati and Rati. In English, body, mind and soul. You rememberize it and you digest it. That is touch to heart. Thank you, Beta. Dandavat Pranam. Hare Krishna.
Thank you so much, Mataji.
Can you sing something, whatever he wants to song from Vaishnav song by the all Vaishnav permission? For two yes, minutes.
Yes, Mataji. I actually was also thinking I can open one. I was also thinking to sing Krishna Tava Punya Habibai, but I didn't know. I was confused between Boro Kripa Kurli Krishna Krishna Taba Punya Habe Bhai. I'll sing that one now. Since it's also by Srila Prabhupada. Please excuse my voice cracks. Krishna Taba Punya Habe Bhai. Krishna Taba Punya Habe Bhai. এ পুণ্য করিবে যাবে রাধা রানী সুখী হবে ধ্রুবতী বলি তোমাতাই শিশুতান্ত সরস্বতী সচিসুত প্রিয়াতি কৃষ্ণ সেবা জর তুলনায় সে সে মহন্ত গুরু জগতের মধ্যে ওরু কৃষ্ণ ভক্তি দে তাই তাই কৃষ্ণ ভক্তি দে তাই তাই তারাই চ বলবান পশ্চাতে তে তান তান হয় জট গোরঙ্গের নাম পৃথিবীতে নগরাদি সমুদ্র নদি নদি সকলে বলে কৃষ্ণ রাম সকলে বলে কৃষ্ণ রাম তাহলে আনন্দ হয় তব হয় দিগ্বিজয় চৈতন্য কৃপাতি সায় মায়া দুষ্ট চত দুঃখী জগতের সবাই সুখী বৈষ্ণবের হিচ পূর্ণ হয় বৈষ্ণবের হিচ পূর্ণ হয় সে কাজ যে করিবারে অগ্নি যদি দিল মরে যোগ্য নাহি অতিথি নাহি না তাই সে তোমার কৃপা মগিতে চে অনুই রূপা আজ তুমি সবর প্রবীণা তোমার সে শক্তি পেলে গুরু সেবায় বস্তু মিলে জীবন সার্থক চড়ি হয় শিষ্য সেবা পলে তাহলে সুখী হলে তব সঙ্গে ভগতে মিলয় তব সঙ্গে ভগতে মিলয় Evam janani patite. Oh, I don't know how to say that. I did a wrong verse. Tumi more chira sate bolia maya lakhi kayachi janma janmantare. Ajapuna sujoga jade. Ajapuna yasujoga jade haya joga yoga. Tabe pari tuni milibare. Tabe pari tuni milibare. Tomara milani bhai, abhase sukha pai, gocharani gori dina bhoi. Kata bani chuta chuti, bani kahi lota loti, se dina kabe habe mor, se dina kabe habe mor. Aji se suvita hala, tomara smarana vela, boro ashe dakhila matai. আমা তোমারা নিত্য দশা তাই করে তো আশা তুমি বিনা অন্যা গতি নাই তুমি বিনা অন্যা গতি নাই কৃষ্ণ তব পুণ্য হবে পাই কৃষ্ণ তব পুণ্য হবে পাই Should I also read the translation, Mataji?
Beautiful. Yeah, or, please.
Yes, please.
Oh brother, the Supreme Lord Krishna will bestow virtue upon you. But he will do this only when Srimati Radharani first becomes pleased with you. This I surely declare to you. Shri Shri Srimad Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, who is very dear to Lord Gauranga, the son of Mother Sachi, is unparalleled in his service to the Supreme Lord. He is the great saintly spiritual master, most magnanimous within this universe, who bestows devotion to Krishna in various places throughout the world. His desire is very powerful, and thus he is causing the holy names of Lord Gauranga to spread through all the countries of the Western world, and all the cities, towns, and villages on the earth, extending to all the oceans, rivers, and streams. Everyone may chant the names of Krishna and Ram. Thus all directions will be conquered by a flood of transcendental ecstasy, flowing with excessive mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when all the miserable living entities that have been corrupted by Maya become happy, then all the Vaishnava's desire is fulfilled. Although my Guru Maharaj ordered me to accomplish this mission, I am unworthy to do it, being very fallen and incompetent. That being the case, O Lord Krishna, your mercy today is arising in a benefiting manner to make me become worthy, for you are the wisest of all. If you bestow your divine power, then one attains the factual substance by which service to the spiritual master in the life becomes successful. If the service is obtained, then one becomes truly satisfied and ultimately received your association due to good fortune. As stated by Prahlad Maharaj to Narsingadev in the Srimad Bhagavatam 7.9.28, thus by associating with material desires one after another, I was following general populace by falling into a blind well of snakes. My dear Lord, O Supreme Personality of Godhead, then the great sage Narada Muni kindly accepted me as a disciple and instructed me on how to achieve the transcendental position similar to his own. How could I ever leave the service of your servant? O Lord Krishna, you are my eternal companion. Forgetting you, I have suffered the kicking of Maya birth after birth. If today the chance to meet you occurs again, then I will surely rejoin with you. O my dear brother, in your company, I'll experience great joy once again. Wandering about the pastures and fields, I will pass the entire day with you, tending the cows, joking with you, and frolicking through so many forests of Raja. I'll enjoy pastimes of stealing and eating one another's lunch. When, oh, will that day be mine? Today, in the remembrance of being with you, came to me in a very nice way. Feeling great longing, I call out to you, O Lord Krishna, only because I am your eternal servant do I desire your association so much. Except for you, I have no other refuge. A comment I wanted to make real quick while I was reading this. Prabhupada, like, it describes, like, he was so humble throughout the translations. And I reminded me of one quote that I saw by Radha Maharaj. The quote was like, humility is having pride as a servant, because it was always hard to think like what real humility was growing up. Like, how should one become humble? It was always my thought. Because I also really need to you know, learn that. And so I was always thinking, how does one become humble? And then I saw that quote, humility is being prideful that you are a servant of the Supreme Lord, that you have the pride that I am a servant of Krishna, I am the servant of the servant. And that really made sense to me. I just thought Prabhupada's very nicely just gave, he was a perfect example of that. He was just saying, I'm the servant of my spiritual master, but I'm still accomplishing the duties of a servant and in such a humble way.
Beautiful, Asura. Beautiful. The Matajis, anybody have any realizations for Asura's class today? Or else we can end today's session. So, Asura, once again, thank you so much, Asura, for coming on the call and giving such a nectarian class. So sweet. Hope you will recover soon. All our prayers for you. So with this, we would like to conclude today's session. Vancha kalpataru pyasya krupa sindhu vehe vacha patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha. Ananta koti vaishnavrindu ki jai, namachan shila haridas rakir ki jai, shila prabhupada ki jai, prabhupada prita ki jai, bhaktin asara ki jai. Wonderful class, Asura. Thank you so much.
Yes, wonderful class, Asura.
Thank you, Asura. Hare Krishna. Hare Bol.
Hare Krishna. Thank you, Asura.
Hare Bol.